Hey everyone, and welcome to Gamers First Podcast. This is another episode, I believe our 10th official episode.
Yeah, I like 10. 10 is a good number.
10 is a good number. It's a nice round number. So let's get things kicked off. As always, we're here. I'm Drew, and Brian is with me.
What's going on? Actually, you know, Drew, I was thinking we should do the end at the beginning. And by that, I mean, you know, for people who don't know us, let's kick this off right now and say what our Xbox names are and PlayStation names, and the fact that you should give us comments, because we want this to be a conversation between more than just us two, with all you wonderful listeners, you know, all one of you or two, however many there are.
That's right. It fluctuates. It goes in and out. We know we've been gone for a while, but this is our second one. We're back. We've got a groove, got a time, ready to go. So I'm Drew, and you can find me on Twitter at TexasDI. You can also find Gamers First on Twitter at Gamers1ST.
And we promise to deliver you the tweets right after. You can get them at IGN and elsewhere.
Pretty much, yeah. We do what we can, but as not industry professionals, we just kind of pass along the knowledge that we can find from other sources.
And I am Brian Cayley, and you can find me on Xbox and PS3 at HitmanBK.
That's right. You can find me on PS3 at with BlazeDDI. And that's also what I am on IGN. And so we put this up, we put up our podcast and our reviews on our individual IGN blogs. So Brian is HitmanBK, and I'm BlazeDDI. And so you can find them there. You can also find them at our website, which is Gamers First Podcast, and you spell out all the words, .wordpress.com. And the podcasts are up there, our news articles, our reviews, our thoughts on different things. And we have a lot more coming your way. As we'll get into shortly, I'm sure.
Yes, all right. Well, kick this off with what we are playing. I'm usually the crazy one and try to get like 5 games in 1 week. However, this time I did not. I do have Tomb Raider and Dead Space 3 waiting to be played, but I'm so into Mass Effect 3 right now with the recent Citadel DLC release. I have the full game. I'm ready to play the full game. I've played 1 and 2 and all their DLC, as I mentioned last week. 22 hours into 3, I just finished Omega and Leviathan DLC, and I really liked it, Drew. I really liked it. You know, I'd have to admit, I can see why players could be upset with some of the DLC releases. You know, we had that Day 1 DLC from Ashes, which very much felt like it should have been in-game.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. It's a character. It's whole parts of the story that you miss. He's integrated through pretty much the entire thing. He's kind of one of the first things you can do is go pick up the other character.
Yep, and on top of that, he's a freaking Prothean. So it's right. Like, really? And I felt the same way about Leviathan. So far, it's been my favorite DLC because it felt like it should have been in the story. Like, you meet the very first race in the race that created the Reapers.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, I'm like, how is that not in the game? How is this a DLC like six months later?
So that definitely feels like they made the game and then they cheated us out of it. They took it out to make it DLC.
Maybe we should – ooh, this sounds like a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Right, which might be true. And in that case, then I'm very glad that they released it at all. So.
Yeah, it's very true. So I really like that one, needless to say. I thought Omega was fun. And I'm looking forward to playing Citadel. I will say, as a Mass Effect fan, and as a fan who was okay with the ending, I didn't really love it. I am not okay, and it kind of sucks. But I'm such in love with Mass Effect that I want to play all of it. That all this DLC, you know, that I'm playing, it's post ending. You know, I beat the game. Like, the whole point of the game is trying to rally up resistance and the fight against the Reapers. And both Omega and Citadel are like, really? Like, why am I going to go to Omega? Like, why do I want to save this hunk of junk? Well, okay, in Omega's defense, you're saving it to gain, I can't remember her name now. To gain the Asari who runs Omega, you know, to gain her friendship and then to gain her force and all that stuff. So, sure.
Right, you're getting the mercenary groups that you kind of, like, ran into in Mass Effect 2, right? The Blue Suns and the Eclipse and whatever.
So you get them. So, I mean, I guess that's the reason to do it. But then with the latest, the Citadel DLC, which I've already known from reading, I mean, it is totally fanfare, which is cool. But at the same time, like, why am I going to have a home? Like, I'm not supposed to go to the Citadel and relax with my friends and go get some
R&R. There's no time for that.
Yeah, there's no time for that. It makes no sense. But I hear that if you can take yourself out of that, it really is a good DLC. So I am excited to play it, but I'm also kind of let down that we didn't get any post-ending DLC or I don't know, just something. But I haven't beat it. You know, as I said before, I have not beat it again when I had the extended cut and all this other stuff. So I don't know what that will add or what it'll take away. So I am very excited to finish this game. Right. That's what I'm playing.
Yeah, well, and that's my thing. I just hit on Mass Effect 3 real quick. That was one of the things that got me in, with the Citadel DLC. This kind of gets into it. But it was really interesting because I understand that you're allowed to take a good chunk of time as Shepard because it's more important to be ready before you go.
Right.
Or else you don't have a chance. But at the same time, I feel like the story very much rushes you along.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah. It was this big tear for me of like, yeah, I wanted to run and go do some of the side missions and stuff, but I was like, man, every minute I waste, I can see that people are dying, and like I can check in.
Yeah, it's really weird. And every time you talk, you know, Shepard's like, "Earth, I must save it," and I'm like, "Well, should I go talk to all my squad mates? I don't have time to do this. This is go time."
Yeah, exactly. And so, I mean, I had to kind of wrestle with the idea of like, okay, well, if I was captaining a ship and we're like having to fly through space and whatever, then of course I would have time to go talk to these people.
Right.
And
yeah.
But it is the urgency of the story, the fact that your planet is about to die, makes you want to just rush through it.
It really does. Oh, and for anyone who is still playing this and just got the Citadel, I will say to kick these off, it is best to kick off Omega. The best time to play that is after. There will be some spoilers here if you haven't played this. Nothing huge. After the Citadel gets attacked by Cerberus is the best time to go do Omega because it almost feels like a revenge thing. Like you're gonna go, you know, you're gonna go hit Cerberus back by taking Omega back from them. Leviathan's really good to start after you complete the Krogan level and you choose, you know, how you want to do it, the Genophage, because it really kind of picks up and it's like this arc and it's really cool to just kind of go back and forth and you're kind of going to the Citadel and these things that you're doing really work. And the Citadel DLC, I've heard it's a great time to start it, usually after Citadel Priority 1, and kind of like play with it up to close to the very last level, like right before you can no longer go back to the Citadel because it's almost like an ending. Like you're saying goodbye to all these people and it's very like, this is it. Like we're, you know, you get a little R&R before, you know, the end.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, that's good advice. So what I've been playing, I'm still hooked on my sports games. Like I said, particularly NBA 2K13. I don't know how much I talked about this last time, but I'll run through it again. But
you touched
it's,
on it.
Yeah, it was, and it's hooking me in not only because it's a great game and I can play it in short bursts and that kind of stuff, which I feel the same way with FIFA. But the reason I'm drawn more to NBA is they do. I'm a basketball fan a little bit more than soccer. I do enjoy my soccer, and FIFA might indeed be the better game. But NBA, they have these hooks during basketball season to get you to play at least one game every day. Because every day that there are NBA games going on later that day, if you play before the NBA games start. So if I play a game at lunch, then at halftime of my game, I pick who the winners are going to be of that night's NBA games that happen
in
real life.
Oh, that's really cool.
And so I pick the winners. And then the next day I log in, and however many I got right, I get points, and I get extra points if I get them all right.
And what do those points go to?
And they're your virtual cash, and so it's stuff to upgrade your character, mainly your character's clothes and looks and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
But it does also go into I guess you also win virtual cash by playing online. You win or lose virtual cash. Every time you play an online match, you either steal some of the other person's or they lose.
Okay.
A ranked online match. A non-ranked, you don't have to put up any cash. So it also gives you more cash to play with for that.
Right.
But it's just something, it's that little extra something, and it's not necessarily that like I need the cash, but I just want to, it's a good way to keep up with who's winning and losing every game in the NBA.
Yeah, that's a pretty nifty. That'd be pretty cool if Madden did something like that.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I think maybe they should.
I always thought it'd be really cool if they did something like, you know, in the game, which I know they kind of do, but kind of like a virtual football, like a virtual fantasy football.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that'd be pretty cool.
Exactly. The other thing, did I finished Journey between our podcasts, is that correct?
Yes. Right.
Okay, yeah, so let me talk about Journey.
You did mention that you were going to throw up a nice little arcade review of that.
Yes, I will, and it's still in the works. I'm planning on putting the final touches on it tonight and tomorrow morning, so look for it on the website tomorrow. That's gamersfirstpodcast.wordpress.com or my IGN blog. You can follow BlazeDDI. And it'll be up there as well. But I played through Journey, and I think, without a doubt, it deserved the kinds of awards that it won.
A solid playthrough, right? No stopping?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Only way to do it, I think. And it was not long. It was less than 2 hours.
Oh, wow, okay.
For sure.
And is there a story there, or is it just this is just a really beautiful game?
There's a story. It's more bringing the story out of you, but there is a story. I mean, you go on a journey, and that's kind of all I want to give away. And I now understand why people have been as vague as they have been. And when you read my review, I'm going to talk a lot about the emotions that it drew out for me, but not necessarily about what happens in the game. And I don't want to share too much of my emotional experience because I want other people to get from it what they take from it.
Right.
But in that sense, I think it really is gaming at video games as an art form at its highest level.
Okay.
Because it's, you know, when somebody stands in front of a painting, like my sister and your wife, stands there and gets so much back out of it, right? And it's sometimes like, yes, the painting is so beautiful, but maybe the painting is so meaningful because of the response you have to the painting.
Okay.
And that's this game, right? The game is so special because of the response that you have to the game.
And very the simple music and all that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Very simple mechanics, but very fun to play in the same vein. The sounds, the sights and sounds are really good. The changing of environments is really nice, and it is beautiful. And it's got that nice kind of floaty feel. The guys that made that game company, they also made Flow and Flower, where again, they're in those games, there was a little bit less of a point to the game. If I may go that far, like you just kind of, there's something that you do, but there's no like thing from beginning to end. And in Journey, there definitely is. There's a start and an end, to the journey. And the cool thing is, for me, it was a very emotional journey, and maybe it kind of has to do with life and the story of life.
Okay.
And it brings up interesting things, especially for me as someone who's studying religion and that kind of stuff. And it brings up some different insights from that, and maybe some insights into what the developers were thinking and maybe their theology, if you will. But yeah, it's definitely a story about the journey of life. To me, the journey was life. And you meet certain people along the way. There is multiplayer in Journey in the sense that like you have to be connected to the internet, or think you have to be connected to the internet to play it.
Okay.
Because you randomly get matched up with people. And even though it looks like the same person the whole way through, it's not. Like, you get to the end of the game and it tells you the players that you met during the game that That's accompanied cool. you on your journey. And so there were like six different ones, and I thought I was with the same guy the entire time. So it doesn't really break your experience. Like, it's not like somebody can drop in and drop out. It's just you're consistently paired with people, and every time the game loads to the next scene or whatever, it makes sure that somebody's matched up with you.
Okay.
And then after you're done, you can chapter select. So now if I wanted to go participate with somebody through just a certain portion, I could do that. But so yeah, excellent game. I definitely recommend picking it up. It's been on sale. I believe it's still on sale. Even if it's not, though, it's only like $15.
Okay.
And for 2 hours, I mean, it's as good as any DVD or Blu-ray purchase you're going to make.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think anybody can really find something in it. Anybody that likes any video game that they've ever played kind
and
of thing.
And that's just for PS3, for anyone who doesn't know.
That's right. Yep,
it is a PS3 exclusive.
Yeah, and will continue to be. So don't really expect it coming to PC or Xbox anytime soon.
Well, now, I guess on our little notepad here, I see, did you just now finish Black Ops 2?
Yeah, well, so I finished it before our last podcast, and I just forgot to mention it. But I finally went back and finished the campaign. As people may or may not have heard on our episode that we did right before Christmas, I was playing through the campaign, and it bugged out on me. And there was a scene where one of my other, like the guy, that the AI next to me, was supposed to run through a door.
Yes.
So that the story could continue. And he didn't run through the door. And I tried everything. I tried going back and that kind of stuff. And I reloaded the last checkpoint, and it just didn't even work. And so it's not like
you were just
froze,
like, I'm done with this.
Right. Well, I would have to start the entire level over again. And I was like going after it at that point. So I was like, screw this, and went and played multiplayer. And so I played a lot of multiplayer Black Ops 2 through November and December. Uh-huh. But no, I didn't get back to the campaign until like 3 weeks ago. But I did finish it. Excellent. Very well written.
I loved it.
Yeah, I really did enjoy the way that they put that game together. The thing that's interesting, after the ending credits roll, and I guess this is a spoiler, but I don't think it was a spoiler, but like they just take all the characters and put them into an Avenged Sevenfold like mock-up digital concert thing, and I thought that was really weird.
Yeah. That was a very interesting little Easter egg, I guess, if you want to call it that, for people who'd be
there. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't really care for it. I guess my assumption is that they're playing into their target market, right?
Yeah.
Heavy metal music. There's probably a lot of Avenged Sevenfold fans out there that are playing Call of Duty Black Ops. And
yeah.
Plus, I'm sure both parties made money on that.
Oh, God, yeah. All right. Well, then that is what we got rocking on our lives, currently in the lives of Microsoft and Sony. There really wasn't a whole lot to pick up on this last week that I saw that I thought was worthy mentioning. But I know Tomb Raider did drop, which, as I said, I have, and I'm really anxious to play it. I think it's going to be a great game. And if you listened to us last week, you would heard that one of the craziest things about it is AMD actually teamed up with Crystal Dynamics to make that Tress FX hair to get mm-hmm. Laura Croft, you know, the sexiness of hair. Okay.
And there are some really good videos if you put your computer in HD to watch them and that kind of stuff, and you can actually
see
the hair, and it looks like actual hair for the first time I've ever seen actual hair in a game.
And you've got something on here about MLB 13, The Show.
Yeah, so I threw this one in the Sony news and that kind of stuff because it's a PS3 exclusive.
Oh, okay.
MLB The Show is a PS3 exclusive, and I kind of wanted to note, you know, there's a lot of the interest in exclusive games is somewhat dwindling, or like the games that end up being exclusive
end up not being eventually
or are a lot of these indie games like Journey. Yeah, right. Mass Effect, the original Mass Effect, Microsoft owned the publishing rights, and now but it was only a timed thing for a number mm-hmm. of years. But if you know they do stay exclusive, most of them are indie games, Journey, Unfinished Swan, downloadable kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so not quite as big a deal, right? If you have a PS3 already, it's maybe a reason to stay with the PS3. Or if you have an Xbox 360 already, it's maybe a reason to stay there. It takes a lot to make somebody move systems. Maybe this late in the generation, you're like, okay, I haven't had a PS3 yet. There are really good sales with bundles. So like I haven't played Infamous and Uncharted. There's a bundle where you get Uncharted 1 and 2 and 3 and Infamous collection.
Oh, wow.
With a PS3. And
well,
so,
I mean, this generation, I'd have to say both have amazing exclusives. I mean, right. I almost think PS3 almost wins out on that. If you're talking about just in terms of doing it now, you'd be doing it for the game and the story. And I definitely think PS3 owns that with God of War, right. Uncharted, Last of Us is coming out, Killzone. Mm-hmm. And whereas on the other right. spectrum, Xbox has only got Gears of War, Halo, Gears of War and Halo. I mean, I don't even know. I can't even think of anything else.
I mean, you can bring up things like Alan Wake or
Alan Wake
or what is it? There are some downloadable games. I know people really like Shadow Complex or whatever on Xbox as well. But yeah, you know, it's not huge draws, and Sony probably does favor it. But the one that still seems to matter is MLB 2K13, 2K Take Two, the same guys that do MLB, NBA 2K13, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. They put out a baseball game, and it's multi-platform and that kind of stuff. But MLB 13, the show, always does better, usually through reviews and through people purchasing it. And it's just, I always find it interesting that this actually does make a difference, that the guys at Sony Computer Entertainment make MLB 13 the show and knock it out of the park when you would think that these guys that have a little more clout in the sports games would be able to maybe do it a little bit better.
Yeah. That is a very interesting comment you make there, Drew. Mm-hmm. I sadly know nothing about MLB 13 or any sports games. I am strictly a fan of Madden, and everybody knows that Madden is Madden, and they own the rights, and that story ends and begins there.
That's right. Yep. Yeah. There are no other football games, football simulations, as far as anybody's concerned, other than NCAA.
But I find that interesting that exclusive baseball game actually does a lot better than a multi-platform game. That's actually really weird.
and it's also weird for there to be an exclusive sports game at this point, like a console exclusive, but it does really well. So, you know, if you've got a PS3 and you're a baseball fan, I hear it's amazing and it's the best baseball experience. You know, other than my personal favorite is Ken Griffey Jr.'s baseball on the N64.
Yeah, I know that. That's great. Oh my goodness, that's great. So what else we got, man? What are we moving into now? What we got? What's going on in the gaming world?
So. We'll hit on a couple next-gen things, whether that be games, game delays, any of that kind of stuff. But we'll start with the tech piece. And so that's Ustream, not necessarily exclusive to PS4.
I'm curious to know what that might mean.
So they came in – well, we're hearing things from Ustream that they – want to be on as many platforms as they possibly can, right?
But what are they offering on PlayStation? Like, what is the Ustream?
Okay. Yeah, so Ustream is a online streaming service, right? Like, I could right now stream our Skype call.
Okay. Kind of like the same thing that Call of Duty Black Ops 2 is using?
Yeah, but but Ustream is a little more ubiquitous, right? You can do it from anything. Like from your computer, just whatever. But it's their big deal is the video commentator in general. But yeah, right. So Call of Duty kind of took the idea from what Ustream already was on the internet. But Ustream is the service that PS4 says they're going to use for their share button, right? Like not like a lot of that's the Gaikai technology and some of that kind of stuff. But if I want to stream me playing a game straight from my PS4. It's going to be through Ustream, or at least that's what they presented at
their
press. Well,
how is that can't be possible, though, unless Gaikai is using a section of Ustream with their own tech so that you can do the whole takeover thing.
Yeah, well, so it's two different things, I guess. It's one, I can stream to you, PS4 to PS4,
mm-hmm.
And that's one thing. Like, if you want to watch me playing my game.
Which is
but I can also right, yeah, and that's when you can jump in and that kind of stuff, and that's more of the Gaikai technology. The Ustream piece of it comes. I just want the world to be able to watch me play this game.
Oh, okay.
So I put it up on Ustream. Maybe you're like, say I host a tournament. I'm going to host a PlayStation All-Stars tournament. You know, hypothetically, for if my PS3 could do the same thing as the PS4 could do. I want to host the PlayStation All-Stars tournament, and I want to broadcast that tournament. So I threw my PS3 or PS4 or whatever, right, stream to Ustream, and then 30 people can watch my tournament. 100 people can watch my tournament. Okay. Thousands of people can watch my tournament.
Okay.
So that's what Ustream is, and you can do that with anything, right? Any sort of live video feed that you can feed through a computer right now, you can do that.
And we could end up seeing that on the next Xbox. All
right. Right. And so the idea is the people at Ustream are not necessarily tying themselves to PS4 exclusivity, which would be really interesting because there were a lot of thoughts of like, well, you know, we didn't see the YouTube logo or anything for or the Twitter logo at PS4. So they're not, you know, not yet on board with them. Maybe people were thinking, oh, Xbox is going to use YouTube instead of Ustream, and how's that going to work? But it sounds like Ustream might also be on the next Xbox.
Okay.
And I guess kind of with that, we're also hearing Skype might be is looking into being available on the Xbox, and they say, you know, they don't specify this gen or next gen, but chances are you're not going to release a Skype app for Xbox this late in the console generation.
Well, yeah, because Xbox has its own little video conference,
right?
You know, thing. Anyways, like I can use Kinect and hook up with a video chat or something like that to somebody else who has Kinect.
Right. So I would not be surprised actually if you saw it on both next generation consoles.
I wouldn't either.
But there is a chance. Oh no, I lie. That probably will only be on Xbox because Microsoft bought Skype, didn't they? I need to check this.
Yeah, that's something you might need to check. While you check that, I'll go ahead and say on the gaming, you know, in the gaming world of stuff, most of you have probably already seen the new Assassin's Creed trailer, which drops. I find to be pretty interesting. It looks like, you know, I think that looks like a fanfare game, which I think is a great idea on their part. Why they're probably in the position of change, throw out an awesome Assassin's Creed with pirates. I mean, I thought that trailer, even though I hate trailers, they don't have gameplay footage. I thought it was really interesting. You know, what they were offering through the trailer, you know, this idea of underwater discovery and then they, you know, and then through all this, obviously people started asking questions and there's like somewhere around like 50 landmarks you can end up seeing, 3 major cities, naval battles. I mean, I have to say it. I mean, I am pretty excited. I have not played a really good pirate game and I would love to play a great pirate game. And I think I'd love to be at Assassin's Creed because I like their combat system as long as they fix all the crap that they had, I didn't care for in the new one. So,
yeah, I mean, it sounds like it's much more open than 3 was, right? 3, they kind of streamlined the process, and they're like, we're going to take you along every step of the way, and there was always a character leading you. And they did it for the sake of story, but they lost what Assassin's Creed was to me.
Yeah.
But so it looks like this one, they're opening it back up significantly. They say 60% land, 40% sea, but of course it is an open world, so you can just go out on the seas and go and then decide, hey, I see a random island over there, I'm going to jump off of my ship and swim to it.
Take it over. So, call
it looks
Brian
really
Cayley's Island.
That's right. Be the new Johnny Depp. Own an island.
Yes. So I thought I really liked that. I thought that was interesting, and I'm excited. And it looks like it's coming on both the PlayStation 3 and the PlayStation 4.
Yeah, it's going to be out on this generation of consoles, and I assume all next generation consoles. We're still assuming that the next Xbox is also going to be out at the end of this year.
Yes, we are. Assuming.
But for now, it is confirmed for PlayStation 4.
Yes, yes.
And I did check. Microsoft did buy Skype.
Okay,
which
so
I thought
it could
was
just
right.
Be a Skype,
but so yeah, so. Microsoft. I would not be surprised if you saw Skype on the next Xbox, or maybe the current Xbox. I know it does a lot. They do a lot with applications through it already. But I would not be surprised, especially with Kinect. And I assume like the PS4, where the camera seems like it's going to come with the console.
Yeah, it's looking more and more like you won't get a new Xbox. Well, the next generation Xbox without Kinect.
Right. And so since that's going to happen, I would say it's a pretty safe bet that you'll see Skype on the next Xbox.
Well, I put a note down here, and I don't know if it's true or not, and I've read a bunch of different things as of late since it did pop up. But supposedly Dead Space developers are having a hard time with their new game, and that they might not be making another one, and that they might be shut down, getting shut down, could not be. It is a big rumor. Dev says it's not true. But I thought that was interesting because a lot of people have been talking about how single player and storyline and or story focused games were like dying. And a lot of these devs are going now. But then again, I look at it as like this is the third Dead Space. They also went away from their formula. EA forced them into some sort of action-y thing, and it really, I mean, I haven't played it yet. I'm excited to play it. I love the Dead Space series. But, you know, you take the heart out of the game, what do you expect? What do you expect is going to happen?
Right. Well, and actually, that was sort of their own undoing, and I think they basically were given the death sentence this summer. Because, and I assume before that, but we were hearing things like the Dead Space 3 needed to sell something like 6 million copies.
Right, yeah.
Or maybe 10 million copies, a very high mark. Something that, not very many games do.
No.
Grand Theft Auto's do it. Call of Duty's do it.
Right.
Really big multi-platform games, but only the biggest. That's the, you know, AAA, that's Assassin's Creed, that's, you know, these huge names. And Dead Space really isn't one of those. It's one of these mid-tier kind of games. It sells a couple million copies, but you can't expect too much out of it. And so they set that mark for them. EA did. I assume it was EA. But they had that mark of sales set for them. So they could be shutting down. They could just not. They might have to move into something else and not make any more Dead Space games. And then the other thing, though, is I think it was, they're stuck between a rock and a hard place, right? Because if you're going to sell a ton of copies of a game, you have to make it more accessible. So you have to make it more action-oriented.
Right.
You have to do kinds of things that they did to make it less Dead Space-y. But at the same time, the people that love Dead Space, the people that would have bought it three times, you know what I mean, are the people that wanted it to stay the same and are not happy with them changing it. So they may even end up with less sales than Dead Space 2.
Might have jumped on their own sword.
Yep.
So that was actually, I thought, a little too bad because I am a huge fan and I'm excited to play 3. I hope it doesn't suck. And then
I mean, we want survival horror as a genre will hopefully continue.
And
hopefully not get too far away from, I mean, like, you look at Resident Evil, right? Like,
well, that's full action now.
Yeah, to get sales for the game, they made it super action-y, and they're doing this. They did the same thing with Dead Space, and Dead Space might go away. And The Last of Us, I'm seeing more trailers now that seem to make it a little bit more intense, but it looks like things are moving toward The action. Last of Us. Where it's going to be, if it's a survival game, there's going to be a little bit less horror.
Yeah.
Like, yes, you might still be scared, but you're going to go around, you're going to be scavenging for things, it's going to be less like, hey, here's a narrow corridor where we're going to throw all kinds of crazy things at you and scare the bejesus out of you.
Yeah. Nothing will scare it. I mean, I'll always never forget playing the first Dead Space. I mean, I couldn't even play like an hour of that game, and I thought it was amazing. I'd play like an hour, then have to take like a 2-day break.
When they did those zero G sequences, where then it just cuts out. There's a scene like that at the beginning of Mass Effect 3. If people played that, where you just hear your own breathing, because there's no sound, right? You just hear what's inside your suit, and that kind of takes you into that space really quickly.
It does. It's really great too. Hopefully, if they have to make a new one, they return to their horror elements because they really are good at it.
Maybe they'll get a chance to make like just a 5-hour campaign.
Yeah.
Throw it up for $25.
Like a little fun arcade.
Maybe it'll be super successful.
Yeah, it would be. You know who else got hit with delays is Star Wars 1313. You saw all that awesome footage with Watch Dogs, last year's E3, and here we are seeing Watch Dogs again, but not even a word of Star Wars 1313.
Yeah, it's looking like we're going to have to wait just a little while longer for 1313, and it might be they're just kind of mums the word while they're waiting for these new consoles, and we'll hear something else at E3. But it's not looking hopeful for a this year release.
No, not at all. And it could also be just from, you know, the acquisition of Disney and.
Yep, you know, Star Wars is going through all kinds of changes right now. So I hope that that game stays gritty and dark and exactly what the trailer
is supposed
and
to be M,
the early, you know, gameplay looked like.
It's going to be M-rated Star Wars game. I was like, yep. Wow, this is going to be amazing.
Yep, so hopefully, I mean, I know Disney might just because of if the Star Wars people are their characters now. But if this doesn't have any of the characters that we are already super invested in Star Wars, I think Disney will allow it to be an M-rated game.
I hope so.
I think if it was like back to, you know, Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker,
right, yeah,
kind of stuff. Disney's whole business is built around people loving their characters, and they want their characters to be available to everyone,
yeah,
like the whole public. So they can't go too dark with it, and kind of ruin the image of some of those characters. But if it's new characters, which I'm assuming it is, it didn't look like anybody we know about was going to be in that game.
No, I think you even play like a mercenary.
Right, yeah, absolutely different. It just set in the Star Wars universe. I think they might still let it go, and hopefully that's what I'll be hoping for.
Me too, man, me too. And I saw too today, for anyone who is interested, you can actually go to Destiny's website and apply to become an alpha and beta tester. I know I did. Whether or not you get it, you know, is a fart in the wind. But doing it, yep, I think is definitely worth it.
Yeah, you may as well sign up, right? Like,
that's you double your chances. Yeah, the PS3 and the Xbox will me. So
yeah.
And then I was wondering, Drew, I don't know if you saw, but you see the new Deadpool trailer?
I did, and think? it was very Deadpool-y.
Yeah, I don't know if it looked like the world's worst game, and then they were trying to just like make fun of the fact that it was the world's worst game, or it would actually be a good game.
I really don't know. And so, like, I mean, for those of you that don't know, Deadpool, comic book character, Marvel Universe.
Fourth wall breaker.
Yes, that's really what he's known for, talking directly to you. So they really are playing this up in the video game, and it might make the game great regardless of whether the game plays well or not.
That's true.
It might be very fun to play.
You know, High Moon Studios, too, and I love their Transformers game.
Yeah, exactly. So I have some faith there. It does not look very pretty at this point in time, but it looks comic booky.
It does. It does look like a comic.
But it looks like, 2009 comic booky.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
So yeah, hopefully the polish grows a little bit. But I thought it was very funny, the trailer that they did. I'm not sure it was the best way to show off the game, but it's maybe the best way to show off the character of the game.
Yeah.
Like what the game's going to feel like. And it seems like it's going to be making fun of itself the entire time.
Which maybe that's why it looks like that. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I would not necessarily count this one out yet.
I'm definitely not. I'm really excited.
I think there's some promise in there.
What's this SimCity thing you threw up here? You know, I'm tired of hearing about it.
just a little SimCity. Yeah, I'm sure if you care about gaming enough to listen to our podcast, then you probably understand that SimCity came out this week. And you've also probably heard
the destruction
how awful their servers have been this week.
And then they've even released like statements like, your game might suck while we try to fix problems with a game, yep, we shouldn't have released.
yeah, exactly. So it's unfortunate. The servers worked for IGN to do their 9-hour live stream.
That's true.
The other day. And it's... This is going to bring us into a bigger discussion, and we'll come back to it because I want to talk about just the SimCity part first, but we'll come back to it, is games that are always online and have to always be online. This kind of stuff happened with Diablo 3, and it's happening again with SimCity.
Happened with DCUO, too.
Yeah, it's, you know, these games that have to be connected to the internet, and that's three different companies that we named right there. Blizzard with Diablo 3, mm-hmm, Sony with DC Universe, and EA with SimCity. And neither of the companies, you know, you can only test your service so much. That's understandable. But when a game can only be played online and your servers don't work, that's awful.
Yes.
And so that's what's happening with SimCity. Aside from that, it looks like an amazing game. I'm so excited to play some SimCity.
SimCity? I've never been a fan of SimCity.
Well, it's not out on Mac or any of that kind of stuff. I actually bought the 99-cent version, or however, it may have been $1.99 for iPhone.
You just build stuff, right? And you destroy it.
Right. Well, so it's a niche, right? It's you're the mayor of the city, and so you build your roads, you zone it for like, hey, I want houses here, I want businesses here, I want industry here. You put up your power plants, your schools, that kind of stuff, and build your stuff along the way. You try to raise property values, get more people to move to your city. But it's just a fun kind of like time killer.
You throw Godzilla in there, watch him kill everybody.
Right, yeah, you can do that kind of stuff. And so it's enjoyable. And this absolutely looks like a great SimCity game. And the cool thing about this one is you play in regions, and so there's maybe up to 16 cities in a region, and you can close the region so that it's only like four or five people. That way you can all make multiple cities in the region. Or you can leave it wide open. So there could be 16 different mayors, 16 different people building cities, 16 different cities in the region.
And you can visit those, I guess? That's the whole point of that?
Well, so you can visit, you send, so like say I'm going to build the industry town, right? Like my whole thing's going to be like factories, right? And you build the shopping town, and somebody else builds the residential town. And so I build up all the industry, and if I'm a little ways ahead of you, then you can buy your power from my city. So you don't have to, you're having this nice, you know, city where you buy, you know, that's shopping or whatever. Maybe you're making a gambling city like Las Vegas, right? And you maybe put up like one power plant, but you need a lot of power because you have these big casinos.
Right.
Where you can buy power from my city.
Can you attack your city?
No, there's nothing like, well, kind of. You can throw down a park on top of people's buildings.
What?
So like I can turn your casino into a park. And so like you just went from having this really expensive, nice casino to now it's just like a basketball court.
What?
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, but it's more about the cooperation aspect of like I build a city that has all the policemen, and then I just send my police to your city. And then you can do that even above and beyond on a global scale. This is the reason the servers are so important and why they make you connect to online is, say I have this massive coal mine, and you have a coal power plant and we're not in the same region. I still put my coal up on the global market and your town buys from it. And you don't have to select any of this. You just throw it out there for free. You say, I want to buy coal or I want to sell my coal.
Okay.
So it's not like I don't have to go find you and pick your coal to buy.
Right.
It's just, I'm going to import coal. I'm going to make that decision, or I'm going to export coal globally. You can also, they call it great works sites, but so you need multiple cities to have their stuff leveled up, and then you can build like an international airport so people can travel from region to region through those
server to server.
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, that is pretty cool.
Right. So it really interesting game, a lot of cooperation in it. Can be as long-lived or as short-lived as you want, right? Like if I make a really nice city, I can then stop playing it. I can keep going back to it, try to make improvements, but you only have a certain land space. So eventually you usually want to go start a new city. But if I make a really nice city and I have a ton of money, I can say, hey, I want to scrap this city and I've banked so much cash that I'm going to turn what used to be a place where a bunch of people lived into a tourist trap. So I'm going to make my, I'm going to make my Austin, Texas into Las Vegas all of a sudden.
Okay. Right?
So like, I'm going to just demolish everything that used to be in my city and start building casinos in their places and do things to try to get tourists to my town instead.
Okay. I guess I can see the, it's definitely a niche.
Yep. Absolutely. But, widely loved. But yeah, very particular type of game, have to be in a particular type of mood. And so it is a big deal. This is the first like official SimCity game in a long time. There was, I believe, SimCity 4. There was SimCity 2000, 3000, SimCity 4. And that was a long time ago. They've released like Facebook games or iPhone games and that kind of stuff. But this is the first official SimCity, and they blew it on launch day. I mean, it's a great game from what I've seen, but they blew the launch.
Well, that happens.
Yeah, and so I guess, you know, what's your quick opinion on games that have to be connected online?
Well, I think that's the future, because getting MMOs and Destiny is going to be a game that sounds like it's going to have to be online.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think I just think when you get into that, it just needs to be more widely known. Like hardcore MMO players, for example, know when they buy an MMO, there are going to be issues, probably for the first 6 months, probably for the first year. And I think that's the problem, especially if you're going to bring it to consoles, is we are unknown. You know, like when I play DCUO, I am uninitiated. I am, you know, I'm a virgin to that kind of stuff. And I don't have the patience for it. So it definitely needs to become, I don't know, there's really no way to do it than just throwing people into it and then waiting on the aftermath, getting people into it, and then everybody will eventually become schooled into how those games launch. They always launch with problems because you just can't. You cannot fully test a game like that when you're sending it out and, you know, 2 million people get on at midnight.
Yep. And so I think it's a struggle for bigger games like that. I think a game that has done it really well, and maybe because of the way that they ramped up and because of the fact that they weren't well known first, is Dust 514.
Yes.
PS3 exclusive online multiplayer shooter.
Well, they also did a good MMO. Job because they snailed it in. There were betas and alphas and betas, and there's still betas, and the game's still not even out yet.
Right. Well, yeah, it is still in beta. It's just an open beta now, so anybody can download it and play it. But I think by calling it betas, by doing that, and the fact that it's free also lends itself to this, right? Because if there's a little bit less quality at the beginning, then you're forgiving. But that game, from when I started playing it, I got into the closed beta in the summer.
Oh, it's changed.
From when I started playing it to now, that game is 50 times better. Which I knew it would be.
That's
everything works now, as opposed to their servers crashing and that kind of stuff.
And that's honestly a great example of how Destiny and games like that should probably work. They should probably go into beta in their final year and you know, open it up for free and let people play it, and then let people see how much better it's getting, and then close the beta and sell the game.
Yep, and I'm sure they'll do it on some level, and it sounds like they're doing it on some level. And I know that I'm positive that happened with SimCity as well, but just when these big titles launch like this, it's going to look very different, right? Yeah. Like when World of Warcraft launched, and I might come under fire for this, but when World of Warcraft launched, it was not nearly as big as it was 2 years later.
No, of course
not. You know, and it ramped up like that. But Destiny, SimCity, these like games that seem like one-offs, and by console developers or, you know, well-known PC developers, where when I bought SimCity 2000, I just bought a disc and popped it into my PC and it runs, right?
Right, yeah.
And you know, Halo's the same way, right? Like, I buy a disc, I pop it in, I can play a single-player campaign on my own. And so when Destiny comes out and when things like SimCity come out, people aren't expecting that crash like that. But also, you can't help but, like, there's no way to beta test to that many people for free.
No, there's not.
As are going to buy your game.
No. And then it just goes back to people just need to realize what they're getting into.
Yep. And but yeah, I do think always online is going to happen. I think infrastructure, like the access to high-speed internet, at least in the U.S., needs to change.
Oh, my God, yeah.
For that to happen, because if you live in the middle of the country, you just can't get high-speed internet. I have a friend who lives in West Virginia, and there are no internet service providers to where his house is.
Yeah, that really does need to be fixed. That is something that I know will take time, but will get fixed. Yep. Well, that pretty much kicks off our gaming news. We do always like to finish you guys up on some movie news that I happen to find, because I love movies just as much as I love games. And out there in the movieverse, there's a rumor that Christian Bale, you know, this long-running hodgepodge of Justice League BS, but supposedly Christian Bale will return as Batman in the new Justice League movie that will be possibly directed by Zack Snyder and produced by Christopher Nolan. So obviously this rumor lends itself to DC trying to follow in Marvel footsteps by keeping the hot guy in the hot seat.
Yep. So, I mean, we'll see. That's obviously, in recent memory, Christian Bale is Batman.
He is, yeah.
Before him, there were, what, four different Batmans in quick succession?
Who don't make lasting impressions on you.
Right. No, absolutely not. But Christian Bale is Batman. You know, there's more identification there. So it would make sense.
It would.
But who depending knows? On how far out this Justice League movie is.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to remember anyway, because it's not like Nolan is still cranking out Batman.
Yeah,
movie.
I mean, who knows? And, you know, on another note, actually, I'll end on this one because I think it's just crazy. But on a sadder note, Sam Mendes is not returning to James Bond. So there were rumors, there were speculation. He made the best Bond in all the Bonds ever created, and he's not returning. So that is, I thought, was kind of depressing.
Yep, he's going to go out while he's on top. Sure, would love to see another one by him.
I know, it would be nice.
We'll see more James Bond, and it'll be James Bond. Whether
it will be.
As good as Skyfall, you know, probably not. Maybe better.
And Jon Stewart is taking a break from The Daily Show. 12-week, 14-week, I don't know. He's going to make a movie. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Right, yeah, he's in a very serious movie. You know, he's a comedian on TV. And has been for a living for a long time now.
Yeah, and he's going to go make a serious drama.
Yep.
And that kicks off my movie news, and that really kicks off everything else. Don't forget, in the next 2 weeks, you got the new God of War and BioShock dropping. So
that's right. Be excited. God of War looks really good. We were checking out a couple of early reviews and that kind of stuff. Of course, multiplayer for the first time in God of War. There's been a beta for it. It's fun. It feels like God of War. It's not going to keep people around for a long time, in my opinion.
I'm already sensing my review will be a rent.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's you're getting all these rents from us because great single player campaigns. But how many times are you going to play through it?
How many times are you going to play through it? I mean, there really isn't a game I've played yet that I would want to buy. Maybe Tomb Raider, but we'll see.
Yep. So yeah, we'll see how that goes. That's for me. Even like I buy the Uncharted's because I like the game that much, and I want another Uncharted.
Right.
Then I buy Uncharted.
It's just a great game.
But really, you could rent Uncharted and be fine. Because the multiplayer is okay, and it adds a little bit of value.
It's crap.
In Uncharted 3.
Okay.
Multiplayer is okay.
It's okay. Okay.
But it's not great, and so I think. They're like, open it up for free. You can try it for free. And if you don't believe me, maybe you think it's really good. I don't know. But you can play it for free now. But
yeah,
I'm excited for BioShock.
BioShock, my God. That's a buy. Amazing. It's 100%.
And, yeah, absolutely. And you know why it's a buy? Because on PS3, if you buy it, you get the original BioShock. And guess who hasn't played the original BioShock?
Drew.
This guy.
Oh, wow. You better play it before you play it. It actually won't matter.
I was like, I don't think it matters. I'm just really excited that I'm getting both games.
That's pretty awesome. That's like why I got Crysis 3 on Amazon. I got $20 and Crysis 1.
Nice.
All right, man. Well, you want to kick us off?
Yeah, I think that's it. We'll finish it up with some of the same stuff you got at the beginning. You can find us. I play PlayStation 3. My gamer handle is BlazeDDI. Brian has a PS3 and Xbox, and he's HitmanBK on both.
Yep.
Be sure to check out our blogs on IGN. The same usernames, BlazeDDI and HitmanBK. Find us on Twitter. At Gamers First, that's Gamers 1ST, and you can find us at everything that we post at all. It will be on our website, which is Gamers First Podcast. You spell out all the words that time. .wordpress.com, Gamers First Podcast. .wordpress.com. And until next time, y'all take care.
Take care, and remember, just game. I'm Your red car, me and your girlfriend and your sister with a big scar.